celebrating St. Pat's Day and also offering great savings during their 10th anniversary sale on now through the end of the month. Morning. It's time for Free for All, Katie's morning telephone discussion program with your host, Chuck Harkins.
Good morning. Welcome to the Free for All program. Our guest today is Marvin Cooley, who's in the Casper area, and we'll be attending Wyoming's first annual Patriots Banquet that it's called on Wednesday night. We'll be back with Mr. Cooley, the man who is the author of The Big Bluff and a continuing war with the IRS. We'll be back with him in 1 minute.
Lathrop Feed and Equipment Company, your country store with a bargains galore, and the John Deere Company have a great new offer if you buy a John Deere snowmobile. You get free a deluxe John Deere snowmobile suit or any other snowmobile accessories of your choosing, and you pick up to a retail value of $96.75. This great free offer is available with every snowmobile you buy. Also, there's no finance charges until October 1st, 1973. Stop at Lathrop Feed today. You'll admire the trim lines, smooth handling, and quiet power of the John Deere snow machines. Remember, you get free a deluxe snowmobile suit with every purchase or snowmobile accessories valued at $96.75. No finance charges on new or used machines until October 1st, 1973, when you buy from your country store with a bargains galore, Lathrop Feed and Equipment Company, only 2 miles east of Casper.
Okay, again, our guest this morning is Marvin Cooley, and in the placard here that goes to the appearance of Mr. Cooley, Marvin, this says, I am not in jail, I have never been in jail, and I don't go to jail, and it also says, the man everyone thinks is in jail. Does this come from the fact that you were indicted by the IRS?
Yes, it does, Chuck.
What did those indictments amount to?
Well, the indictment charged me with failure to file. However, I did file all of these years that are being questioned. I just simply did not give any information as to my income or expenses. I just answered all the questions. I don't know. Now, even in their own code and according to their own rules and regulations, it would be incumbent upon them to conduct their own investigation and assess a negligence penalty if they want to. But they have no grounds for a conviction for a failure to file. And actually, I have the precedents and the law and the Constitution on my side that I don't have to divulge personal books and records or information as to my income and expenses. The Constitution protects me in this, and so does the Supreme Court decisions.
What would happen if nobody... I mean, did you owe the government some money, according to them?
No, they never have alleged that I owed them any money. And there would be a difficulty of proving willfulness, according to their own chief counsel, Lester R. Virts. I don't know if he's chief counsel now, but he was in 1967, and he said there would be a difficulty of proving willful failure to file unless they prove a civil liability first.
Well, what would happen if nobody paid, if everybody challenged the government tomorrow?
I think it would very quickly force those who govern back within their constitutional spheres of activity, and we would be relying upon excise, imposts, tariffs, and things of that nature for tax, as we did for 137 years prior to the income tax. We would have to rely upon indirect taxes, as the Constitution specified, because it is only by way of indirect taxes that we can retain our liberties and our freedoms and our inherent and inalienable rights.
Now, if that is true, how about the working man? Now, what can you advise the working man?
What can I advise them? I don't give advice. I would tell them what others are doing. Other individuals who are...
His money is taken out of his paycheck. What could you tell him? I mean,
well, this actually, to take this money out of one's paycheck is actually an unlawful seizure.
Yeah, but
there has been, it's his money, he has earned it. There has been no trial, no judgment or anything that authorizes anyone to take it out of his paycheck. Now, if the individual worker does not want it taken out of his paycheck, even pursuant to the IRS regulation that they have been espousing for the last year, one can claim more dependents. And many, many workers are claiming more dependents, inflating their W-4 forms. And some individuals are filing the form W-4E, claiming that they will not have a tax liability, and therefore the employer ceases to take the tax out of their wages.
Now, well, you are advising them to, and you say that isn't breaking the law?
No, I'm not advising them. I'm,
no,
I'm,
but
I'm telling
but that...
you what others are doing. Well, the IRS will claim that it's breaking the law, but however, the Constitution of the United States is the superior law, and any act of the legislature which is repugnant to it is void.
But, I mean, you do boil down to this fact with a person who has withholding taken from his paycheck, and you're advising him to lie?
I'm not advising him to do anything. The many individuals who do this send a letter to the Internal Revenue Service at the same time, apprising the Internal Revenue Service of what, as to what they have done and why, that they're claiming their rights under the Constitution. And now, according to all the law books that I've studied and read, it cannot be fraud or falsification if the other party has no right to rely upon what was said and if it was not intended to deceive. Therefore, if the IRS receives a letter informing them as to what has been done, they have not been deceived thereby, and they had no right to rely upon what was said. And when an individual claims more dependents, he's not saying that I have that many dependents. He is just claiming more for tax purposes. And then that should make a civil case out of it, and if they don't like it, they should go out and attempt to levy some more tax if they want to.
We do have people that are serving prison times for falsifying income tax returns, do we not?
Oh, yeah. Most of them that I know of or that I'm aware of for years, individuals who have falsified tax returns. That's what you said, what, for falsifying tax returns?
Well, this is really what you're doing.
That's,
if you have two dependents and you say you have four, you're certainly not telling the truth.
Well, now, I think... Chuck, I just explained it. If a person writes a letter to the Internal Revenue
Service... That doesn't correct the fact that it's erroneous, the fact that you wrote a letter.
Oh, well, if they have no right to rely upon it, and if it were not intended to deceive, that negates the fraud aspect of it, or the falsifying. It's not false anymore. It's not fraud, because they know exactly what's going on. And even the Internal Revenue Service themselves has authorized the claiming of more dependents.
The point that I am trying to make here, now I realize there may be some people that have the expertise and the legal backing and maybe even the funds to stay out of incarceration for battling the Internal Revenue Service, but at the same time there's a lot of people that don't have these funds or these backing or this know-how or the expertise. They might be willy-nilly led to Leavenworth.
They could always purchase a copy of the Big Bluff.
Well,
that would be a starter for
them. And you think that would automatically save them? They could get enough information from that book?
No, this would be a good start to obtain information and knowledge as to legal arguments that they could use to protect themselves. Actually, we're kind of digressing from the real point that's covered in the Big Bluff, and that is the production of records. We have been bluffed for years into keeping records and producing records and submitting to possible self-incrimination by filling out a 1040 form. Now, these are things that we do not have to do under the Constitution of the United States. The 16th Amendment, notwithstanding, it did not negate Amendment Number 4 and 5. And they're still valid amendments, and we have court decisions on these amendments. Let me give you an example about the code. You say, is it lawful? We have a statute, Title 26, Section 7210, Internal Revenue Code, which provides a year in jail and a $1,000 fine for refusing to produce books and records. But the Supreme Court, in Reisman versus Kaplan, and this is a Supreme Court decision,
It says, this section 7210 is stated by Reisman is not applicable where the summoned witness taxpayer or a third party appears and interposes good faith challenges to the summons. In other words, they have stated repeatedly that these rights under the Constitution are not implied, that they must be claimed. That's in essence what we are doing. We are claiming our rights under the Constitution and demanding them as superior to the statute. Now, if one is so naive and so ignorant, as the Supreme Court has stated themselves, the reason that we as citizens submit to these unconstitutional procedures is due to our ignorance. They've stated that in their own decisions. And our reluctance to test the validity of the Internal Revenue Code and the IRS officers' actions by litigation in court. Now, if one has enough manhood and enough stamina to stand up against these marauders, if you will, who are going around seizing bank accounts, automobiles, and property without trial and without judgment, and just literally throwing their weight around, if an individual will inform himself a little bit and go into court and demand his rights, he'll probably come out of it quite well.
That's, probably a pretty good statement there. We'll be back in just a minute and carry this on. You're in tune with Free for All. It's KATI and Casper.
There's one place you should head for when the hungry strike. Are you ready?
Red Bar's ready.
Have whatever you like.
There's a whole lot more of what you're hungering for at the Red Barn.
We've got burgers galore in three sizes and more
at the Red Barn. There's a whole lot more of what you're hungering for at the Red Barn.
Golden chicken and fish, tender, crisp, and delish
at the Red Barn.
We've got shakes, Coca-Cola, and we've only begun. When you're thirsty,
Red Barn's ready
to please everyone.
When you're hungry, come to where there's more to choose from at the Red Barn.
We've got coleslaw and fries and hot apple pie
at the Red Barn. There's a whole lot more of what you're hungering for at the Red Barn.
The Red Barn in Casper, 7-Eleven East 2nd.
Okay, now getting back to what you said, that Supreme Court ruling, you cited a case and you said they are ignorant, but there are ignorant people. We have to.
Well, I think we can mitigate the severity of that charge by saying ignorance, and that would be due to the fact that we have been grossly miseducated in the area of constitutional law and fundamental due process and common law.
The point I'm trying to make is there are a lot of people that they are told to do something by authority and they automatically do it, and you might misconstrue this, and we said lead them into Leavenworth. You say you don't advise, but in your own pamphlet you say you do relate your experience on what you think others should do in order to preserve and defend the Constitution. Isn't that the
same
thing?
What do I tell them to do?
Well, I don't know, but that you are relating your experience and what you think others should do in order.
I would advise citizens to become informed on the in the area of constitutional law. And it's very simple. In the Constitution, the Fifth Amendment, it says no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. This is clear and unambiguous language. If the government charged you of a crime and was going to take your liberty away and put you in jail if they attempted to do it without a trial first and judgment of a jury, you would wake up fast. But now they're just taking your property away via that process, without a trial and without judgment. And I think this should serve as a warning, because as the great apostle of the law, Sir William Blackstone, had to say, to bereave a man of life or by violence to confiscate his estate without accusation and without trial is so notorious an act of despotism as to at once convey the alarm of tyranny throughout the whole kingdom. Well, we've got tyranny. We've got a breakdown in the division of the powers of government. We've got these executive administrative officers exercising legislative power, judicial power, and executive power, all in one branch, doing what they will. And there's no valid argument that can withstand this.
Well, that's good. That's all well and good for you. You have the knowledge and the expertise right now, and you're fighting the IRS, and apparently very successful, as it says. You've been indicted, but you have never gone to jail. But there are people that wouldn't have that knowledge.
Well, that's
that
what
would
we're...
go. You know, you may be right, but you may also be behind bars. That doesn't help those people.
That's why I'm going around the country, and that's why these seminars are being held all over the country, is to inform individuals. Yes, it is true. I will abundantly admit that when men stand begin to make their stand for freedom against tyrannical abuses, there's a possibility that someone might go to jail. I'm not fearful of going to jail, because I know full well that if I ever went, they couldn't keep me there very long, and I don't think they'll ever be able to get me there because their prosecution is illegal and they know it.
Yeah,
they
but have your situation is a little different than the person, say, on a wage.
Well,
on
no,
a wage, because you're not in a ball game where they can say, Marvin Cooley, you earned $200 last week or $200 or not. Yeah. You're involved in certainly you've got to have some revenue.
We have thousands of wage earners involved in this challenge to the Internal Revenue Service.
Well, I'm sure of that, but they're a little more vulnerable than you are.
No, I don't think they're any more vulnerable. Not at all. In fact, I think it's easier because a lot of these wage earners do not have the ready assets that the IRS can come out and seize.
Now, have they ever seized anything from you?
Never.
And they've never seized anything. And you have been indicted, but what happened with those indictments? Were you bonded out or...?
Well, I was released on my own recognizance. I didn't have to put up any bail at all. After all, it's just a misdemeanor. There was a doctor... most of these people in the past, when they have, in past years where an individual is not contending for his rights under the Constitution, but just attempting to get out of paying the tax, most of these situations that we have heard of, the individual just goes in and pleads guilty. But if an individual will challenge and defend under the Constitution of the United States, it's a real difficult proposition to obtain a conviction.
Have you... What do you think about certain government programs? I mean, do you make any effort to fund the United States program?
I don't care to get into government programs. That's not the object of my...
somebody's got to pay for the operation of the government. Do you... trying to beat the government out of everything?
No, I'm not. We know that the government is spending money unlawfully. They're using our funds... our money and our earnings financing programs that are repugnant to the Constitution. And those who are entrusted with the powers of government at the present time are usurping power and authority. They're assuming authorities that have not been delegated in the Constitution, have gone way beyond their limitations. We created a limited government. We don't have a limited government anymore. We have an unlimited government, and their policy is the Constitution be damned. We're going to do what we please. And I'm not just talking a crackpot idea. Many intelligent and informed citizens and lawyers know this and know what's going on.
How did you come to Casper?
How did I come?
Yes.
I came on an airplane last night.
Yeah. And there are some government factors in that airport, in the airplane. The point I'm trying to get at is it would be almost anarchy if there were no federal funds.
You
reap the benefits from some of the federal programs. I'm sure of that. You've been on highways, on airports.
You know, I won't have any difficulty with your questions because when I pay
well,
a
you
buy
haven't
a gallon
answered
of,
one yet.
All right,
that's
I'm
why.
Going to now. When I buy a gallon of gas, I pay taxes for roads. When I pay property tax, I pay taxes for schools. When I spend my dollar, I pay sales tax, and I pay taxes for all of these other things. The point that I'm trying to get across, we don't need an income tax, a direct tax. This is nothing more than plunder. The government using its force to deprive the property, to deprive citizen A of his property, and bestow it upon citizen B. That's nothing but outright plunder and robbery. And you talk about airport facilities. If this money was left with the individuals who have earned it, and we had true free enterprise, we would still have airports and facilities and airplanes and probably a much better system than we have now without a bunch of government bureaucrats sticking their nose into our business and running our lives for us and our businesses.
Okay, we're going to throw this open to telephone calls, and we'll be back in 1 minute. Our number is 445-45.
Much, much more is what we do for your money at Guaranteed Federal Savings and Loan. Thank you.
the bus and
much, much more is what we do for your money at Guaranteed Federal Savings and Loan. Guaranteed Federal Savings and Loan, 123 South Durban, Casper, Wyoming.
Okay, again, our number is 445-45. We're now open to telephone calls. If you have any question you'd like to ask Marvin Cooley, who will be talking at that banquet tomorrow night. What's the, how's the sales of the Big Bluff going?
Oh, they're doing fine.
Is that...
I'm not going to state any numbers or anything like that, if that's what you're getting.
Yeah, well, you're not going to state anything. Right, I mean, even on the air, I mean, you're not... You're
I'm not going to say anything that could possibly be used against me, no.
Yeah. Okay, there's our first caller.
Hello, Marvin Cooley.
I had a question for Hawkins.
Hawkins. Oh, Mr. Hawkins, this is for you.
Say you're coming on real good over the air, but some of your questions sound so stupid.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
In what respect?
Well, the man tells you plain what it is, and then you come back and ask him two or three times same question.
Well, he never did really answer it, and despite that fact, my name is there, too.
What?
What is your name?
My name's Kinsel.
Okay, and but I don't think they're very stupid questions because... I view it almost as anarchy if nobody paid.
Oh, well, we already got the anarchy going.
Well, I'm sure you believe that fully.
Sure.
As much as I believe on my side of the picture, too.
Well, I thought I'd call you because it really don't make good sense. The man keeps telling the same thing, make him say it over and over again.
No, he never did really answer the question at all.
Okie doke, thank you.
So I guess that's where we get into the stupid or ignorant. That's kind of a question that you don't know. We got another caller going now. Go ahead.
Hello, Marvin Cooley speaking.
Yes, I'd like to, first of all, ask a little biographical data. Where are you from? And
I'm from Mesa, Arizona.
And what is your education?
What is my education? Well, I'm just an old farmer myself, a sod buster.
Do you then believe that you're highly familiar with constitutional law?
Oh, you bet.
What is the basis of this belief?
What's that?
What is the basis of this belief?
Well, I've studied in that area very extensively.
Well, then you must be aware of the taxing power given to the legislature.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm also aware of the rights and immunities that are secured to us in the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution and also in state constitution, and that the taxing powers must be implemented with those limitations. Like our founding fathers, they were confronted with that situation, and they could not implement a direct tax because the Constitution wouldn't let them. They had to find other ways to tax, and that's what they did. Yes, the government does have the power to tax, and I'm not opposed to taxes per se. I'm just opposed to plundering the guise of tax.
Well, what are you defining as a direct tax? As you know, the income tax was challenged when implemented and was found constitutional, so I don't see the problem.
I'm not saying that the income tax is unconstitutional. The 16th Amendment was ratified. I guess it was ratified. There are those who have good information to show that there was possibly lacking one state in ratifying it, but regardless of that, regardless of the 16th Amendment, we still have the 4th and the 5th, and the 16th Amendment did not negate these other amendments. We still have them. They're still valid, and the problem of how to collect the tax you know, and when the individual claims these rights under the Constitution, if an individual refuses to produce records, to keep records, or to submit this information on a 1040 form, which would be possible self-incrimination, that does pose a difficult problem to the tax collector.
Well, it is true that the Constitution states nothing of record-keeping. However, in other parts of the Constitution, the power to tax is clearly stated, and I don't see the constructiveness of your argument.
Well, that's
probably because you don't want to. I'll state this, that the Fourth Amendment protects us against unreasonable searches and seizures, and there is much case law, both in England and this country, supporting that fact, that no way can the government get our private records if we claim our rights under the Constitution. It has always been considered an unreasonable search to require an individual to produce his books and records that could possibly be used to incriminate him or to cause him to forfeit his goods or for any other reason. The only valid search would be a search for contraband, instruments used in the commission of a crime, and products of a crime. And to require us to produce books and records would be a flagrant trespass against the Constitution, and it still can't be done, and that's wherein the big bluff manifests itself.
Well, aren't there other sections? Is it not true that there are other sections of the Constitution that negate this?
No, that's what I've been trying to put across. The other provisions of the Constitution cannot negate these absolute rights that are secured there in the Bill of Rights of the Constitution.
Well, I'm not that familiar with particular cases, but I'm sure that I can justify the income tax.
Well, I would suggest that you become more familiar with these cases, then you would be able to espouse a much more powerful argument.
Well, it's not my position to make money on doing something that's not constructive to begin with.
Well, I should hope not.
Well, and that's what I somewhat feel that you are doing.
Well, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
I think if people wanted to be informed as to income tax provisions, their best bet would be to buy a book on the income tax to figure out what are legitimate deductions, exemptions, and so on, and this way save their money and pay the income tax. After all, tax is the support of our society. It's the sustenance for the social contract that exists between the state and the individual.
But well,
since the beginning of government, and
what about the sales taxes and property taxes and imposts and excises and tariffs, all the things that the Constitution provided for initially? And under this system, we became the most powerful, richest, progressive country on the face of the earth. We got along admirably well for 137 years without an income tax. What you're trying to convey just isn't so. We wouldn't put the government out of business. We would just confine government within its constitutional sphere of activity, get them out of the business and private lives of the individual, and governing and protecting the people, and that's it.
Well, first of all, the income tax is constitutional.
If you want to say it's constitutional, maybe it is. I don't know, but the problem of collecting it is what poses the problem. How to collect it when the individuals claim their rights under the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution, which I said the 16th Amendment did not negate.
Well, I don't think that this society could impose collection on its citizens without their consent.
Well, let me further inform you, even the
taxes to support the government.
Even in the Internal Revenue Code of Ethics, the first statement there says that the federal system of taxation depends upon voluntary compliance. And that has been stated repeatedly in court decision. It depends upon voluntary compliance. You have to voluntarily waive your rights to privacy. You have to voluntarily waive your rights against unreasonable search and seizures.
And
you have to voluntarily waive your rights against possible self-incrimination. You have to do that. What I'm trying to tell you, the 16th Amendment notwithstanding, if our fathers and our grandfathers had refused to keep records, produce records, or give this information on a 1040 form, never could this income tax have been implemented in this society, the 16th Amendment notwithstanding.
Nor would government be as strong as it is.
Oh, it would be much stronger. Our government is very weak today and grown weaker by the day and by the hour.
Okay.
And we have no money left. Our money has been debauched and corrupted. We have nothing but money left and nothing but paper left, and someone else has all the gold.
Okay, we'll be back on Free for All 1 minute.
If the shoe fits, wear it, especially when it looks so good.
The feminine pretty look is back in women's fashions, and women this year should take pride in being women and dress the part, starting with a new pair of beautiful shoes from Bondi Shoes. Hilltop and Sunrise Shopping Centers, two convenient locations. Spectators are back. Open shoes are back. The pretty look that you gals have been waiting for is here. And the selection is large. Bondi Shoes, Hilltop, and Sunrise. Make your choice now, early, for Easter. Bondi Shoes.
If the shoe fits, wear it, especially when it looks so good.
Okay, you're on Free for All. Our guest is Marvin Cooley. And
Again, you say here you don't intend to go to jail.
No, I have no... I don't believe they can put me there.
Now, getting back a little bit relating to that call, and by the way, our number is 44545. I can buy this bit on the privacy, on not releasing records and the privacy, but are you saying don't pay income tax or just don't reveal records?
I'm just, I didn't say anything. I'm just saying that we have a right not to reveal records. We have a right not to answer questions to any government officer.
Right.
We don't have to reveal these privacies of our lives. That's why these protections were put in the Constitution, because our fathers knew they weren't there to protect
them. Well, I can see that, but are you saying, or are you, or even implying, not to pay your income tax?
No, I'm not
implying
it. To
other people. Or are we talking about privacy here?
What I say, I refuse to waive my rights as an American citizen, and I think that we owe it to ourselves and to our posterity to secure these constitutional principles. Now, what the Internal Revenue Service is doing is running roughshod over the people, violating due process, taking their properties, seizing their properties without trial. Well, they're very quick to say, you can have a trial in the judicial branch of government with a jury. You just pay the tax first. But then they have taken our property before due process. Then we have to assume the burden of proof. And then we have to open up our books and records to prove that we don't owe it. This is nothing more than a sham action. And the average individual citizen can't do this. He can't hire an attorney and go to the Supreme Court and demand his rights. It might cost him $50,000.
Now you're back to the very first question I asked about the
now
average
that's
person.
What we're doing. And we're taking just the average person.
Yeah,
now, just
now
the average.
Now you're talking about the... that was the guy I was talking about first, the average
person.
Now let
me answer the question. You said I weren't answering him.
No, 360 degrees.
We got a cowboy over there in Mesa, Arizona that's gone up and argued his case before the Supreme Court of Arizona. He argues his cases all the time in court. Just a cowboy, a carpenter, a laborer. And he's becoming very eloquent. And we got people all over the country doing this, going into the courts themselves. And they do an admirable job defending themselves. That's what they train themselves to do. We tell them where to get the information and how to use it. And anyone can do it who wants to put forth just a little effort. And it doesn't cost them that way. Just like one great general told me one time, he says, wait until the IRS is faced with the specter of thousands of taxpayers able to defend themselves without having to hire expensive attorneys. He said, then you'll get something done. Now, Senator Long, who headed up this investigative committee investigating the tyrannical practices of the IRS, said that they trespass against citizens all the time. They abuse them. They resort to tyrannical practices, especially small taxpayers and those without legal assistance. He says, what should taxpayers do when faced with such a situation? Do all lawyers know what the obligations of taxpayers are as to question, answering, record producing, and et cetera? The answer seems to be no.
You got a caller there on number one.
Hello, Marvin Cooley speaking.
Yes, Mr. Cooley. I'm calling in regard to the last gentleman that called. I think he hit the nail on the head when he said that the government wouldn't be as strong as it is today. I feel that's what's greatly wrong with this country. The government's too strong as it is, and I'm glad to see you up here, and I hope you keep spreading the word.
I'm certainly glad that you... We do want a strong government, but we don't want a strong centralized government. And we would be a strong people in a strong country if we decentralized the government again and had local self-government as the Constitution specified, and if we would confine these tyrants within their lawful spheres of activity. Government I want, and law I want, but not rule of man. I want rule of law. And we're talking about anarchy. Actually, the government, those who have the reins of government in their hands today are operating pursuant to the rules of warfare, not the rule of law. Might makes right. We're going to do what we please, the Constitution notwithstanding. Our rights are being trampled on. They cloak themselves with sovereign immunity, say you can't sue us, you can't prosecute us, and this is nothing less than the rule of warfare.
I think you're right. I think local government is the only means by which the people can control their own futures and destinies, and I think what you're doing is a good thing, and we're real glad to have you up in this area.
Well, I want to thank you for that, but I want to defend Chuck here. It's his duty to put me on the hot spot.
Well,
don't
doing
criticize him.
A good job of that, too. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, and I think we got another caller there. Our number is 44545. You're on Free for All, and our guest is Marvin Cooley.
Hello, Marvin Cooley speaking.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment.
Fire away.
I think the point of your discussion is really good in that we have given the IRS all these powers and we haven't...
Well, let me correct you there. We never have delegated that power. We haven't given them those powers. We have sat idly by and let them usurp power and authority and entrench themselves with power, and now the bureaucracies are controlling the country, and even congressmen and senators are saying we're losing our power and our control. The bureaucracies are controlling. But we didn't give it to them. They took it. This is usurpation of a power. Okay, go ahead.
This is right. This is right. But what your point is, that we need to fight and we need to try and get it back. We need to control this agency of the government better.
Well, this is true. Like Woodrow Wilson said, liberties have not come from government. The history of liberty is the history of resistance. Actually, though, the Constitution is no better than the people's will to see that those provisions are enforced. Unless these provisions of the Constitution serve as a reliable warning, at what point resistance will be met with, then it's no good.
Okay, I agree with you, and I think you're doing a great thing by trying to educate people to stand up for their rights better.
Well, I thank you.
Okay.
Goodbye. Okay, again, our number is 445-45. I think we ought to talk just a shade about that banquet, which is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and I guess it's up for each individual to ascertain whether himself wants to go. Do you talk about your book, The Big Bluff?
I always mention The Big Bluff. I have it for sale. It can be obtained by ordering it from myself, Marvin Cooley, 525 East Baseline Road, Mesa, Arizona. Also have seminar tapes if anyone wants them.
Do you, and you don't advise anybody, as you said earlier, anything, you just intimate that they should do these
things. Well,
you
can call it whatever you want. I tell them what their rights are and tell them what the rest of us are doing and what I'm doing. I don't tell them what to do. They're individuals, and it is individual effort that will get the job done.
Well, that's kind of a matter of semantics, is it not? Whether you're advising
or intimating.
If you choose
to put it that way, it don't matter to me.
Or whatsoever. Also, is a person necessarily ignorant because he pays his income tax? That's one word that if somebody doesn't agree with you, they're ignorant.
Well,
and I'm not so sure I could buy that.
Well, that's
true, there's an awful lot of ignorance in the United States.
Let me quote the Supreme Court. But the subpoena, now this is in United States versus Minker, volume 350, U.S. Reports, page 179. Now, true, there can be no penalty incurred for contempt before there is a judicial order of enforcement. But the subpoena is in form an official command, and even though improvidently issued, it has some coercive tendency, either because of ignorance of their rights or their reluctance to test it. So it's the Supreme Court that says that we are ignorant, and because of our ignorance...
Yeah, they're using ignorance in an entirely different term than the layman definition of ignorance.
Well, we are ignorant,
of that particular portion of the law.
Well, we're ignorant of the fact that we can claim our rights under the Fourth and Fifth Amendment and get them.
Right, but that is not the layman's definition of ignorance.
Well, maybe we have problems with semantics
point.
Again.
We'll take a commercial and then be back.
Every day, more and more people go Magnavox, and there's a reason for that. People just won't settle for less. And Mountain States Appliance, 523 South Center, keeps giving them more year after year. This year, Magnavox introduces a truly advanced 100% solid-state color TV. It has a solid-state modular color TV chassis with 5 plug-in circuit panels and also plug-in mini modules and transistors. They snap in and snap out. Not a single tube to heat up or burn out. It's so reliable that Mountain States Appliance will fix it free, parts and labor, for a full year if anything goes wrong, and it's the fault of Magnavox. See the Magnavox modular 100% solid-state color television at Mountain States Appliance. Magnavox really does give you more. Mountain States Appliance does, too. Mountain States Appliance, again waiting to serve you in 1973 at 523 South Center in Casper.
Okay, again, our guest this morning has been Marvin Cooley. And Marvin, you were here, I guess, in April?
April of last year.
And I guess you'll be back again next spring sometime, or this is about a year.
Well, I don't know, whenever they want me to come back.
Yearly proposition. And hopefully, in your case, you have not been in jail and you don't intend to go to jail, so we should have you back here again next spring.
Very likely, maybe even before.
And, well, that's a good possibility, too. Do you find this movement growing?
By leaps and bounds.
I'm sure you just don't speak in Casper.
You have to ask the IRS if you can get the truth out of it.
Where do you speak?
All over the country. I was in Texas the last 2 weeks, Lubbock and Dallas, and I'll be going to Atlanta, and I've been to Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Chicago. I've been in every western state, and...
Do you find this is growing? People are beginning to bow their necks and battle the IRS.
Well, they are, because they've just about had it with confiscatory taxation. That's exactly what it is. There's only so much we can stand. I say, we want to support lawful government. We want to support the Constitution of the United States. We feel that we have a duty, pursuant to the common law, that when we see a definite plan to usurp power and authority and reduce us under despotic control and concentrate all the power in the executive branch, we have a duty to do something about it. And regardless of what disguise it comes under, these prerogative courts, star chamber proceedings, writs of assistance, and general warrants by any other name are still the same damnable thing.
Okay, and again, he'll be appearing in Casper on Wednesday. We want to thank you for participating on the Free for All program, and we'll be here tomorrow at 9:15.
KATI Casper, CBS News follows. Join us each weekday morning for Free for All. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KATI, its ownership, management, employees, or sponsors.
Specifically, tax reform. This morning it heard Jerry Werf of the Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees say, "The taxpayer revolt is for real, and it cannot be put down by rhetoric." Werf proposed that Congress stop tax reductions, which tend to favor the wealthy, and instead allow a tax credit equal in value to each taxpayer. More after this.
Hey, what you got there? Tomato juice?
No, V8.
It looks good, like tomato juice.
It's my V8 cocktail vegetable juice.
But I still...
It's a great tasting blend of 8 garden vegetables.
I still say...
Well, here, try some and see.
Wow, that sure doesn't taste like tomato juice!
Of course not. It tastes like
V8. Great!
V8 cocktail vegetable juice.
How do you handle a hungry man?
Well, we want to thank Captain Maxted and Patrolman Timberley for being here today. And we'll be back on the Free for All program tomorrow at 9:15. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Join us each weekday morning for Free for All. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KATI, its ownership, management, employees, or sponsor.
KATI Casper, CBS News is next. We join the program in progress.
A Senate Judiciary Subcommittee studying proposals to pass laws protecting newsmen from revealing sources of information heard this morning from Dr. Frank Stanton, the vice president, or rather vice chairman of CBS. Dr. Stanton talked about the First Amendment guarantees of freedom of speech.
The rationale of the First Amendment, as is emphatically clear in all the literature contemporary with the Bill of Rights, is that you cannot have a workable democracy, a self-governing people, unless those who make up that democracy and unless those people who in our system are the ultimate governors as well as the governed have access through the press not only to the facts but to critical appraisals of those facts, unfiltered by any government agency, unrestricted by any accountability to government, and undeterred by any liability to reveal sources or unpublished information.
Dr. Stanton also said there's been a disastrous trend recently toward jailing newsmen who refuse to reveal their sources of information. Israeli military officials say today their jets had not meant to shoot down the Libyan passenger plane, which strayed over Israeli-held territory yesterday. Officials said the Israeli jet fighters had wanted only to force the plane to land because it was flying over what was called the most sensitive military area in Israel. More than 90 people were killed when the plane went down, and one of the crew members has told newsmen the compass on the Boeing 727 was not working properly. In Palm Springs, California, Winthrop Rockefeller, the former governor of the state of Arkansas, the grandson of the legendary oil tycoon John D. Rockefeller, has died at the age of 60. Rockefeller had suffered from cancer. More in a minute.
You know where winter really hits hardest?
inside your house, where germs and odors get locked in. Winter's the time for Lysol brand spray disinfectant. On the bathroom basin, kill germs other people leave behind. Kill germs that cause odors in laundry hampers. In the nursery, kill odor-causing germs on diaper pails. Winter hits hardest inside your house, where you lock in germs and odors. That's why winter's the time for Lysol spray disinfectant. A siren wails. Flames leap in the night. A family is saved, but their home is lost. Who will help? Often, it is the Salvation Army, which provides temporary shelter, food and clothing, and assists in restoring the family to a permanent home. Whether it's one family rendered homeless by a fire, or 1,000 families driven from their homes by floods, the Salvation Army emergency disaster teams are on the job, doing what needs to be done. The Labor Department said today that the cost of eating at home and in restaurants went up by more than 2% last month. That is the biggest jump in that index in 1 month in 22 years. The government figures for the overall cost of living were ahead by 0.3%. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 4.29, volume on the big board slightly less than 7 million. This is Reed Collins, CBS News.
Nation,
people,
world,
medicine,
education,
milestones,
environment,
behavior,
cinema,
business,
law,
modern living,
cover story.
The dollar crisis. This week, the cover story of Time magazine analyzes the impact of the cheaper U.S. dollar on prices and jobs.
It tells what's happening and why in the kind of way that I like to read about it.
The law. What is due process of law? The courts are now broadening their protection of the average citizen. Education. Some 300,000 U.S. school children are now taking drugs with parent and teacher approval. But should they be?
Whatever's going on, I find it out in time.
Plus,
essay,
show business,
nation,
music,
art,
religion,
world,
milestones.
You should read Time to get, you know, perspective and the insights that the Time writers give you.
You know what Time does. But unless you read it every week, you may have forgotten how well. Why not subscribe to Time? It makes everything more interesting. Including you.
Change your pace. Escape into a new world. A magic paradise where everything has been planned and designed to take you a weekend away from care. You will feel so welcome and luxurious on your weekend away at the Radisson Denver. Just imagine staying at the Radisson Denver in a beautifully appointed room where all your wishes are fulfilled. You'll really live it up. Just take your choice of the weekend away plans at the Radisson. Select from three live it up plans. For example, plan number one includes one night in 2 days for only $37 per couple or $25 single. In addition to the beautiful guest room with private balcony, the price includes welcoming cocktail, dinner in the flame room, continental breakfast, and Playboy Club cash privileges. It costs very little to feel like royalty on your own weekend away at the Radisson Denver, home of the Denver Playboy Club. For more details, write or call the Radisson, 1790 Grant Street, downtown Denver, or call Katie, and we'll send you an information brochure. Stay and play a weekend away at the Radisson Denver.
Bob Coleman, Katie News, brought to you by Security Bank. Final arguments are expected today in the first-degree murder trial of 29-year-old Joseph Mike Jaramillo of Riverton. And the case is expected to go to the jury in the Trona County District Court in Casper sometime today. Jaramillo is charged in the shooting death last June of Charles Holloway, a retired Casper oil executive. Jaramillo took the stand in his own defense yesterday after the defense had called three other witnesses. In an emotional testimony, Jaramillo denied that he shot Holloway. He said he was in the backyard behind his the house when he heard, quote, three pops. He said he was outside admiring the mountains. He added that Holloway had asked him to turn off the sprinkler in the backyard and that he was doing so when he heard, quote, three pops. He said he returned to the house and discovered Holloway's body. He said he then ran into a field behind the house where he heard sirens. He was apprehended by the police. Jaramillo also disputed prosecution testimony that was given earlier in the four-day-old trial by 25-year-old Wayne DeLorme of Arapahoe. DeLorme said that he had stepped out of the house after an argument between Holloway and Jaramillo, and DeLorme said he heard gunshots while he was outside. Jaramillo testified that he'd come to Casper to borrow money from Holloway after he met DeLorme in a bar in Riverton. The State Department of Administration and Fiscal Control will sponsor an orientation seminar in Riverton tomorrow for newly elected city and county officials.
Representatives from Bighorn, Fremont, Hot Springs Park, and Washakie counties have been invited to attend. A similar program was held in Cheyenne last month. Other programs will be held later in Casper, Powell, Rock Springs, and Sheridan. Attempts to increase funds for mined land reclamation and reduced funds provided to the University of Wyoming Alumni Association were turned back in the state Senate yesterday as debate on new bills came to an end for this session. Senator Harry Limbach of Casper proposed chopping $88,000 from the university budget. It would have gone to the Alumni Association. Proponents of the now-dead Casper College bill had charged the Alumni Association had lobbied hard against the measure, yet they were receiving tax funds. Jones said the state appropriation made up 60% of the association budget, and it had been in the budget since he started working with them in 1969. Senator John Osterlin of Gillette supported the Alumni Fund. He said the organization's prime objective was to obtain gifts for the university through personal contacts and publications. Senator L.V. Stafford of Buffalo said it might be illegal to appropriate funds for what he said was a private organization, and he said they should be supported by dues or by contributions.
The handy bank for busy people is Security Bank, helping people with good service. The Security Bank, we do more for you to help you come through. Wherever you're going, we're right out the way.
Comparison shopping is one way to be wise with money. Having a checking account is another. We at the Handy Bank would like you to be doubly wise and compare your present checking service with ours. We invite you to compare, meet our staff, ask questions, and look around. Then, join hands with the Handy Bank. Security Bank, downtown Casper.
The Handy Bank for busy people, the Security Bank. The Handy Bank for busy people, the Security Bank.
A former Riverton High School principal, Elvin Shipp, is missing and presumed drowned in the Pacific Ocean near Bodega Bay, California. The Coast Guard said Shipp and a companion were aboard a fishing boat that capsized on the 18th of February. The boat has been found, but no body so far. The Coast Guard said the fishing boat apparently was caught in the tide and capsized. Shipp was a principal at Riverton High School from 1948 through 1958. The bodies of four North Dakota residents have been removed from the snow-covered wreckage of that light plane that was found on a snowy Wyoming hillside. The bodies in the plane were discovered about 35 miles south of Rawlins. Killed were Mr. and Mrs. Tony Rosie of Berthoud, North Dakota, and Mr. and Mrs. Dale Heberberg of Minot, North Dakota. The once-postponed preliminary hearing for a man charged with first-degree murder in Lander is scheduled to be held today. Charged is 80-year-old William Glassman of Hudson. He's accused of killing 54-year-old Alden Beebe, a Fremont County rancher. A coroner's jury in Casper yesterday absolved Robert Melvin of any blame in the February 10th traffic death of Mrs. Betty J. Weakland. The jury ruled she died from injuries suffered when she was hit by a car as she was walking on Highway 220. Highway Patrolman Harry Smith testified he passed a person, apparently Mrs. Weakland, walking outside the westbound lane of traffic. He said minutes later, a motorist stopped where his patrol car was parked to tell him that he had almost struck a woman who was walking on the road. Smith said the fatal accident occurred within a minute of that motorist's report. Melvin was traveling 50 miles an hour. He didn't see Mrs. Weakland until an instant before she was struck. Highway patrolman said skid marks indicated Melvin was well within the speed limit. No citations were issued.
K-A-T-I weather.
It'll be mostly fair today, tonight, and tomorrow. Warmer today and tonight with no big change in temperature tomorrow. Winds out of the southwest at 10 to 25 miles an hour. High today, 35 to 40. Low tonight, 15 to 20. And the high tomorrow, 35 to 40. Precipitation probability less than 5% through tomorrow. Yesterday's high, 31. The overnight low, 11. Current reading, 36 degrees. Bob Coleman, KD Total News, brought to you by Security Bank.
People smile and tell me.
People smile and tell me I'm the lucky one, and we've just begun. I think I'm gonna have a son. He will be like him and me, as free as a dove, conceived in love. The sun is gonna shine above. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. Everything will bring a chain of love, love. And in the morning when I rise, bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything's gonna be alright. Love the guy who holds the world in a paper cup. Drink it up. Love him and he'll bring you love. And if you find he helps your mind, better take him home, home. Yeah, don't you live alone. Try to dream with lovers on. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. Everything will bring a change.
That's Ann Murray, and it started off and it sounded like Andy Williams because we had a wrong speed on there. It's a pretty tune. That's why we stopped everything and started it over. It's called Annie's Song, Annie Murray. Good morning, Coleman Show. From right now till 2, and it's Thursday. It's George Washington's birthday, the 22nd of February. A good morning to you. Hope you have a good day, everybody. Glad to have you here. We'll have more music in about 2 minutes. We have our program called Real Estate Guidelines. That's brought to you, of course, by Bachman Realty right after this word.
A hen turkey breast will make a delicious meal. And Safeway has them at plus special savings. USDA inspected grade A Blue Ribbon brand full turkey breasts. All delicious white meat. Plus special, 98 cents a pound. At Safeway, where you get discount with a difference.
Shop Safeway in Casper, Douglas, and in Lusk.
Bachman Realty presents Real Estate Guidelines. Today's program in just a moment. Bachman Realty, the home of the searchers, now located in the Hilltop Shopping Center. Bachman Realty, your complete realty company. Whether you want to buy, sell, or lease, all realty problems will be handled efficiently and professionally by the qualified staff at Bachman Realty. Bachman Realty is a member of the Multilist Exchange, enabling them to better serve you. Call Bachman Realty, 237-3743, or stop by their beautiful new office in the Hilltop Shopping Center. Brad Bachman and staff, Casper's most progressive real estate firm. Bachman Realty, the home of the searchers.
Real Estate Guidelines. When a home is for sale, it sometimes isn't easy for the owner to hold his silence. Take this instance. A representative from the real estate firm was showing up with...
Dr. Dial, premarital sex in 5 seconds. Dr. Dial.
The outcome? The house was sold. Possession was a point with the buyers, all right, but as it turned out, it took some 4 weeks to get the buyer's furniture moved into town. And this was a possession date quite satisfactory to the owners. Often, a sale can be literally nipped in the bud when it really should have been allowed to grow. The real estate professional is aware of these pitfalls. Let him do the negotiating. It's all part of a professional real estate service.
Join us each weekday at this time for Real Estate Guidelines, brought to you by Bachman Realty and the Hilltop Shopping Center, the home of the searchers.